I'm David Poyser, a journalist. Welcome to the 24th episode of PESPOD, the insider's guide to the European Network of Public Employment Services. That's PES Network for short. In this episode, we'll explore the fascinating world of artificial intelligence, or AI. As AI technologies evolve, it's a timely moment to explore how PES can use this to enhance service delivery, improve operational efficiency, and ultimately better serve job seekers and employers. We'll also consider practical examples of AI in action alongside key learnings and best practices that PES can adopt when designing and implementing AI. Today, I'm joined by thematic expert Dr. Willem Pietersen, who led the recently published PES Network report, Opportunities of AI Within PES Processes and Services, exploring PES experiences, best practices, and emerging business value. He'll be sharing insights from the report, as well as some of his own personal reflections on AI and public employment services. Hello, Willem.
Good morning.
I'm also joined by Andres Henningsson, Senior Strategist and Product Area Manager for AI and Data at Arbetsförmedlingen, the Swedish PES. They're utilizing AI in interesting ways to match job seekers with vacancies they might not have previously considered. Welcome to PESPOD, Andreas.
Thanks. A pleasure to be here.
So firstly, Willem, how would you describe the current state of AI adoption across public employment services in the EU?
So the current state of AI adoption is fairly low. I mean, PES are playing with AI, PES are experimenting with AI, but not that many PES have that many types of AI in their production. So to facilitate, you know, job seeker job searches and supporting counselors work. However, what we're seeing is that there's a lot of enthusiasm. And there's a lot of PES that are tipping their toes in the water right now to build applications and do pilots and POCs and the like. But what we're also seeing is that what they're doing is not yet of the most advanced type of AI. So nowadays we think of AI as, you know, ChatGPT and all these kinds of large language models that are hugely complicated and really big. PES are not there yet. PES are typically playing with machine learning to build better profiling tools or to improve their matching or to do a better job at segmentation. But we see that growing rapidly. And we see that some of the PES are pretty advanced, and we see some of those, you know, shiny, cool applications, such as those large language models that we were talking about, being used already by certain PES. So the potential's there, the excitement is there, and it's growing quite quickly.
Based on the findings and conclusions drawn from the PES Network report, Opportunities of AI Within PES Processes and Services, what are the main recommendations and suggestions for the PES Network when considering AI development in PES?
So based on the study where we looked at various PES across the PES Network, we see a number of things. The first is PES are mostly just experimenting. They're playing with stuff, but they don't really have a clear business case of what it is they want to achieve. And that could create problems for a lot of PES further on in their journey, because it's really easy to start playing with AI and start doing a little pilot with a vendor that might create a better algorithm to do something. But once you get to the stage of actually having to build this into your organization and having to build this into your processes, things get complicated and hairy quite quickly. So thinking about what it is you want to achieve, so having clear goals, having a clear business case, having good key performance indicators could really help PES. And PES are not really doing that just yet. So that's finding number one. Second finding that we're seeing is that PES tend to underestimate the complexities of implementing these things in what they're doing. Because like I said, starting a pilot is relatively easy. But once you put it into production, things get complicated. You get legal challenges because you need to be GDPR compliant, you need to be AI Act compliant. You need to make sure it works well with what your counselors are doing, that it fit existing systems. So things get hairy and complicated quite quickly. So integrating AI into your workflows and thinking about how it integrates in what your organization is doing. A lot of PES are also not really thinking about this just yet because they're so excited about the opportunities of AI. So another recommendation is to think a little bit more how it would fit in what they're doing. And lastly, we've done a ton of recommendations. So I'm just highlighting a few of those, is that PES tend to just focus on fairly siloed applications. So we either improve profiling or we improve matching or we do some career guidance recommendations. However, the true value of AI could lie in integrating all these elements because you want those algorithms to connect. And ideally, you want to integrate AI throughout the entire workflow or the customer journey of a job seeker and you move them back into a working life, and doing the same thing with your counselors. So thinking a little bit more holistically about how AI could facilitate entire customer journeys could really benefit PES.
That's so fascinating. Well, that's not just theoretical, very practical ideas. So, Andreas, you are at the coalface, so to speak. Following on from Willem's assessment, what recent trends in the field of AI do you find particularly interesting and relevant for PES?
Oh, there are so many. And I will follow up on Willem's statement later on in this pod as well regarding the progress. But if you look on particular fields that are interested, you can't answer that question without mentioning generative AI and the movement that is connected to that in terms of large language models. And that is a given that we are working with quite heavily. And we should, as a united European community, put in some effort in terms of building and creating Europe-centered large language models, since we are in competition with other types of continents like China, US, India, and so forth. And we are lacking a bit behind. And we are struggling a bit to find our own models. But with that said, I would say, we'll come back to that later, I would say one particular field that we are moving quite heavily into, and I think other types of communities are moving in, is knowledge graphs or graph technology, which will help us enforce the acceleration surrounding this AI application in order to create better contextual understanding, to make more better personal recommendation parts and so forth. And knowledge graph is a way to represent information that could be used for AI applications in so many new areas, where you basically try to understand and gives a leverage on how people, places, objects, concepts are connected to each other, where you can build upon these types of applications. I would say knowledge graph is in particular of interest when you talk about interesting AI solutions or platforms or structures around it. And it's growing globally right now.
In Sweden, one of the ways you leverage AI is by using an AI-based matching initiative to help job seekers consider careers that they might not have typically thought of. Could you briefly explain what the AI matching initiative does and share the lessons learned?
This, what we call broadened matching, basically saying a nurse can be matched to a nurse job. That is a traditional way to match different things. And we created a whole new architecture and structure around a new AI-driven solution in order to create an understanding about the work market and the actual job seekers. So we have developed a labor market-driven, data-driven structure to identify relationships between professions, jobs, and competences in order to help the job seeker identify new occupations within their scope of existing skills. Keyword here is skills, where we can expand the client's potential labor market. Instead of just trying to match a nurse to a nurse, we are creating a solution where we create AI solutions around to understand all the published ads. What are their competences? What are they looking for competences? And then we try to profile the actual job seeker with both soft and hard competences and try to match and expand. Since if you are, for example, a data scientist, you can also work as a salesperson or educators and so forth, where we look upon your competences and try to match competences against the needed competences on the labor market. But if you look upon a challenge point of view, even though this has been highly successful, we have over 70% high feedback from the actual job seekers, what they really like and find this helpful. But there are issues around this also, since matching is a big thing. This is not like a recommend a movie on Netflix and so forth. To recommend a job or a new career is a life-changing move. And you have to take that in consideration as well. This is not just an AI. We can match you to an other thing. There are softer things to take in consideration here. And following up on Wilhelm, what we have learned is that creating an AI solution is rather easy, but creating and nurturing an AI solution with the right data over time is more difficult and more work intensive than many people think from the start. The key lesson here is to don't underestimate the time it takes to go from an idea to fully production ready AI solution for a huge market. That takes a heck of a lot more time than one think when you get an idea.
Many AI initiatives struggle with transition, moving from experimental proof of concept stages to production ready systems. Can you share some insights from your experience? For example, how have counsellors responded to AI developments that impact their day-to-day jobs? And what feedback have you received from them?
I would say the feedback is rather good in general. But the thing that we are working with quite heavily here as well, when they realize what an AI solution actually is, that this is not traditional develop, what we have done for 40 years. We have an idea, we make some code, we put it in production, and everyone's go home, go into maintenance mode. I would say the actual work starts when you put something in production from a case worker perspective. They need to be there constantly to survey the actual, how the AI solutions perform, or is it performing as expected? We need to retrain the whole model once again from the learning. We need to enforce and implement enterprise evaluation frameworks around metrics and so forth. And this is a totally new thing, which is a hurdle we can come over. But this is where some of our case struggles to understand that when you develop an AI solution, put it in production, the actual work starts once you put it in production. That's for, I would say, some. In general, they see this as a good thing, but it is something that we're working with that you need to maintain it over time, and we need to have them on board throughout the whole journey.
So, Willem, now, given the rapid evolution of AI technologies, what do you think are the next major AI developments that PES should prepare for in the coming years? How should they align their strategies with these advancements?
So two things. I think on a sort of higher, more theoretical level, we obviously see that AI is getting increasingly smart. We're sort of moving, and experts say that we're sort of moving from what we now call artificial narrow intelligence, which is where we are now, which is basically you have things like ChatGPT, where you have a lot of inputs and you create one kind of output. But we're moving to what the experts call artificial general intelligence, where AI can do much more than that. AI can reason, AI can produce multiple outputs at the same time and create many complicated things, like AI can create movies with sounds and text and everything in one go. So AI will become increasingly smart. And I think we're underestimating what the impact of that will be. And I think it's going to be hugely transformative for PES in terms of things such as creating reliable labor market information. A lot of PES do that. But we'll go from simply collecting information and analyzing it to much better forecasting about what's going to happen in labor markets in the future. And that's going to have a huge, huge, huge impact on what PES are doing. So I think we need to think a little bit more also as PES and PES Network about what the future impact of these things is going to be. More concrete and more practical, I think, in the next coming years. Right now, we're seeing sort of the rise of what we call agentic AI, where AI right now is pretty much, well, we mostly use AI as, you know, simple tools that do one thing, or we have a chatbot that does one thing. But agentic AI basically means that you can have AIs that can do tasks in sequence, multiple tasks, to complete an entire workflow. And that's going to be very interesting for public employment services. Think about a job seeker who goes to a PES and we automatically create his profile, and then we automatically match him to certain vacancies, and then we can automatically apply for those jobs and schedule an interview without the job seeker really having to do anything. And the same could apply to caseworkers and counselors that could just have automated workflows where the AI helps them prioritize which clients to deal with, schedules the meetings with those clients, provide notes as input for those meetings with the client so that the counselor becomes much more an actual counselor and a supervisor of tasks rather than having to do all these steps and, you know, click, 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 click through checklists, what many counselors are doing right now. So agentic AI is a very practical kind of application and is really coming up hot and heavy right now in the tech industry. And I think we also need to think about that, because that also ties back into one of my earlier findings, is that we're now treating AI as single applications, but we need to start thinking about customer journeys and workflows and integrated systems. And that's where you'll see that in the future, agentic AI can really help PES, job seekers, counselors, and managing a PES to be much more efficient and much more effective.
So back to you, Andres. Andres, I'd like to ask you for your reflections on how you see AI being further adopted and integrated in the future in your PES.
What we are moving in right now as we speak are, based upon the Wilhelm's previous statements in agentive AI, we are building those parts right now. As you said, you have a tendency to look upon artificial intelligence as a silo for one single task. But currently, we are building, making this infrastructure or architecture, both on the business side and on the technical side, to combine it with our low-code platforms as an automated processing, connected to the process-oriented way. So we actually combine the whole structure in terms of building automated flow that are driven by artificial intelligence over the whole cycle, not just one process step. So we get AI agents within the actual process flow. And this has turned out to be quite a good strategy from our side. And that is where we are moving in quite heavily. But on top of that, of course, we are using these AI features, both from a generative AI perspective and knowledge graph and so forth, to prevent fraud. Since fraud is a growing area, and we adopt as well into that area to identify fraudulent behavior through the whole cycle for all our objects that we are transferring. So we use it both to prevent fraud, to detect it before it occurs, but also to increase the automated flow using AI agents. And as Wilhelm said, again, in the end, we're only in the beginning. I predict that basically every service that's going to be published in one way or another will be based upon and driven by AI.
And finally, Andreas, based on your experiences within your PES, what single piece of advice would you give to other PES looking to advance the use of AI in their organizations?
I would say my standard comment is that to understand that AI is only a tool to achieve a goal. AI is not a goal by itself. One should always start from a need, as from a problem or a need, where AI shouldn't be the need. This is to connect to the start of this pod as well, why many organizations struggle to come from a proof of concept to an actual full-blown production applications that can be used, is that you have a tendency to start from, we need AI, but you should always start, what is our problem? What is our need? And from there, apply different technology, AI including.
Thanks, Andreas, for those closing thoughts and recommendations. And thank you both so much, Andreas and Willem, for joining us and for sharing your valuable insights on AI and its impact on public employment services. It's been fascinating to find out more about how PES are utilising this technology and how other PES can learn from each other. I'd like to remind everyone listening about the PES Network Knowledge Centre. If you go online, there are lots of useful resources and publications to help you in your PES. This includes the PES Network report on opportunities of AI within PES processes and services mentioned in this episode. And don't forget to join the PES Network LinkedIn group if you haven't already. Just search for PES Network on LinkedIn and apply to become a member. Thank you everyone at the PES Network for contributing your expertise and enabling us to make this happen. Do you have any questions or comments following this episode? Please send an email to empl-secretariat@ec.europa.eu. PESPOD was produced by the European Commission with technical support from ICF. Thank you all for listening. This is David Poyser signing off until the next PESPOD.